Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the third day of February, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Psychopaths Are in Charge. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru am Byth. We will take callers later on in the program. We do ask that you watch your language since we have a mixed audience. Also try to be courteous to other callers who may be on at the same time. And also know that we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody contacting this call and coming on is muted automatically until such time as either I or Adam unmute you. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. A lot of information there, also archives of past programs. In case you missed the program we did last with James Lancia, the author of Downtown White Police, you might want to go grab that one. Trigger warning, though, if you do, James was very animated during that interview, and so he let loose with a lot of F-bombs and some other explicatives, mostly due to the fact that, you know, we are in perilous times, and the white race seems to be completely asleep at this point in time. They have fallen for the strong delusion, and it's just like they're on a drug and they can't wake up. So anyway, if you missed that one, also you might want to go back and get it. If you'd like a table of contents of that show, since it did run rather long, if you email me, I'll be glad to email you a copy of the basic items that we covered during the interview and at what minute mark you go to in the interview to listen to that portion. It saves some time for you folks out there that are, you know, on busy schedules and whatnot. And we thank Ralph up there in Canada for providing that for us. So again, teamwork. Teamwork is how it's done. As the Amish used to say back when I was a boy, many hands make light work. It was kind of neat growing up in that area of Pennsylvania because it was heavily Amish, but it was also heavily Pennsylvania Dutch, which is what my mother was. And Dutch, of course, is a anglicized version of Deutsch, which is what the Germans call themselves. Deutschlanders, right? So Deutsch is the same as German. So it became Dutch. And a lot of their sayings and customs and all that are very much the same. If you go back to the origins of the Amish, you'll see that you go back far enough and they sort of intertwine somewhat. So we entitled tonight's program the way we did because it's becoming more clear every single day that these people who call themselves our public servants, even though they don't behave like public servants, they are 100% psychopaths. Now, in this day and age, you have to remember that the word psychopath and the word sociopath are pretty much synonymous, and that means they're used interchangeably. So whether somebody uses the term a psychopath or a sociopath, they're totally interchangeable. Now, if you want to get into the science of those two, I'm sure there are some very small minutia changes or minutia difference between the two of them. But for the average person, just consider them interchangeable. So we have these completely immoral, non-sympathetic, no remorse, no empathy for mankind psychopaths running the show. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, as well as so many other things. And again, the mic will be open for anybody that wishes to join. Yeah, no empathy, Angel says here, and she's right. They have no empathy for mankind. They are complete psychopaths and narcissists. All right. Again, very typical of these people. The whole universe revolves around them, and they don't care about the rest of mankind and what they do to us, especially our children. Before we get into that, we're going to read here in Psalm 59, verse 16, "But I will sing of your strength. Yes, I will sing aloud of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my high tower, a refuge in the day of my distress." Now remember, high tower, back in the days that this was written, around the walls of a city, the high towers are where the archers and the lookouts, the watchmen on the wall, would be in the high towers. So they were both a way to see a long way off in the distance, trouble coming, and the high tower was a very difficult part of the wall to conquer, because it was obviously higher than the rest of the wall, so it was much more difficult to climb. But also it gave the people, the defenders of the city, a way to hurl rocks and hot oil and arrows down upon those who might try to storm the city. So when the psalmist here is saying of Yahweh, "He is my high tower," that's what he's talking about. Through our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is a savior in the sense of saving us from distress and harm in the here and now, which is what the Greek word is talking about. He is a high tower in the sense that through him we have vision to see out in the distance enemy and dangers coming at us. It also gives us vision to look out and see possible escape routes or for help coming. And it also gives us a much more defendable position. Whereas if you don't have the Father on your side, you don't have the high tower. You may not even have a wall of defense at all. And the enemy is taking advantage of that. Our poor people out here that don't have our Father in their life, they are defenseless. And so the enemy pours their propaganda and their fake news and their lies, especially through absolute satanic demons like Anthony Fauci, who is a complete despot, a complete miscreant. And all you'd have to do is put some horns on him on a tail, and you'd have the perfect personification of Satan himself. Because that man couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to his head. He is a liar, a misfit, a miscreant. And yet he's given the center stage by both the Trump and now the new communist Chinese President Biden and his cabal in Washington. So, you know, new boss, same as old boss, all run by the same cabal, all Jews. They got Jewish shekels running out of their pockets. So nothing changes. New boss, same as old boss. The cabal races forward. Even though we're hearing reports that, you know, there's a lot of good things going on, but we've been hearing those reports for the whole 4 years Trump was in there, and I haven't seen any evidence of it yet. Now, do the things that the reports talk about need to happen? Oh, absolutely. Do we need to hang traitors? Sure do. Do we need to execute rapists? Yep, that's what the Bible says. Do we need to execute murderers? Yep. That's what the Bible says. Do we need to execute kidnappers? There again, that's what the Bible says. So all we have to do is obey the Bible, and most of our crime situation would disappear. Because, first of all, the biggest criminals walking on this earth are these satanic, Satan-worshipping Jews. Now, people say, "Dan, you can't say that about the Jews, you know." Well, I'm not saying that. I can quote you Jew after Jew in my list of quotes here who have said that about themselves. I can quote rabbis who have said about themselves, or the Rosenthal who said, "Jews don't like to admit it, but we worship Satan. We are his chosen." Well, those are Jewish folks. They said it. And best of all, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, said it 2,000 years ago. Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. You see why most brain-dead white people can't figure this thing out is because in their pea brains, they've been told by that prostitute behind the pulpit that Jesus was a Jew. So in their pea brain that doesn't barely function any longer, they're trying to get over the cognitive dissonance of, well, wait a minute, if Jesus was a Jew, and you're saying Jews are of the devil, I can't handle that, Dan. How does that work? Well, obviously, dumbass, it's because Jesus was not a Jew. You've been lied to. You drank the Kool-Aid. Now you're sitting there with a conundrum because in your mind, you can't wrap your hand around your head around this notion that the Jews are of their father, the devil, because you think that our Messiah, the Aryan Christ, was one of them. Once you figure out that, no, he wasn't, he was a true Israelite, he was an Aryan, and he condemned them for their behavior, much as we condemn them today, 2,000 years later, once you understand that, it's much easier to figure out what's going on in John, the book of John, and in the book of Revelation. I had a long discussion this afternoon with James Lancia about the condition of the world. We talked a lot about acquiring land where we can separate ourselves from these Babylonian misfits. And then we talked to us about the show that he did with me and the fact that he was very passionate about that. And he wanted to apologize for being so passionate. And I told him I didn't get one negative review from anybody that listened to the program. In fact, it was just the opposite. Most people appreciated the fact that at least James exhibited manliness and some testosterone being a lion instead of the cucks and the little soy boys that represent manhood today amongst the Babylonians. I'm starting to call all these mask wearers and these rectum swabbers and these Fauciites and these COVIDiots, just lump them all together as Babylonians. And I'm starting to walk away from them. We tried to wake everybody up. We've sent out probably millions of emails and made personal phone calls and tried to get our people to look at websites with great doctors like Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Lorraine Day and Dr. Buttar and many, 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 many others. Dr. Kaufman, Dr. Made. Okay? All of them saying the same thing. That you're being lied to, okay? This whole pandemic thing is one great big lie. It's all part of a communist takeover. It's all part of them trying to figure out who are the people that are buying our lie and will do pretty much anything we ask them to do, and who are the people that are going to resist it. You see, they're trying to figure out who to come after and who to put in camps, just like they did to the Russians 100 years ago. Nothing new under the sun. Okay? They're using more modern ways of doing it, but the modus operandi of the communist is being played out exactly as it was 100 years ago. Okay? Communism is a Jewish invention, and it's run by Jews. 100 years later, it's the same thing. Today, you look at the faces of all the people promoting this whole lie, Fauci, Birx, Pelosi, Schumer, all the way down, Stroke, Page, name after name after name is either a kike or they got kikel shekels in their pocket. Okay, same difference. Same thing with the Russians. The white Russians that betrayed their countrymen did the work of the Jew and took the Jew money to betray their mother Russia. And when they woke up too late, there was a civil war between the Red Russians and the White Russian Army and the Red Russian Army. So, again, we're repeating history, okay? The poor Russian folks didn't wake up in time, and they lost some estimates go as high as 60 million. It was at least 25 million. So 25 to 60 million men, women, and children were murdered by the Bolsheviks. Christian, by the way, Christian white men, women, and children, because the Jews hate Christians. They hate Christ, they hate Christians. Now, a lot of you folks out there say, well, Dan, you can't lump them all together. Well, then rewrite your Bible. Rewrite history. Because Alexander Solzhenitsyn and many of the historians and your Bible don't really differentiate between Edom, Esau, and the rest of us. They're all lumped into Edom, Esau. Now you say, well, Dan, surely there's some good ones in there. Well, again, go rewrite your Bible then, because the Bible doesn't say, well, it was part of Edom, Esau, Obadiah says will be exterminated. Well, Obadiah doesn't say that. And I didn't say that they're Edom, Esau. The Jewish encyclopedia says that they're Edom, Esau. Jewish rabbis say they are Edom, Esau. And that's why they like the color red. Communism has always been associated with red. Okay, you start putting these pieces together and you start figuring out who's who. And Sun Tzu told us in The Art of War that if you don't know who your enemy is, you're going to lose at least 50% of the time on the field of battle. That's if you know at least who you are. And most of our people don't know that either. So they're going to lose every single time. And you can tell they're losers because they got dirty diapers on their face. And they're going down to get a rectal swab. And they're going to get a vaccine. And they're going to get a PCR test up their nose. Okay? So they've lost. They don't know who they are, and they don't know who their enemy is. They've lost every time. And my personal opinion is they're going to start dying here pretty soon. I would like to say that I have a lot of remorse for the ones that are going to die, but I can't really say I do. Because we've been trying to tell them for a very long time, and the average white person personally just doesn't give a damn. They just don't give a damn. So, Lordy. So we try to wake them up and give them the information of all these experts in the field, and again, they just walk away from it. They don't care about themselves, they don't care about their health, they don't care about their families, and they don't care about the truth. And here, we have to remember, if you don't care about the truth, do you care about the Messiah? He said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. So if you don't care about the truth, how can you care about him? And he said, too, will I find faith upon the earth? And the sad part of it is, no, there's not much faith out here. It's not much faith at all. The people just don't care. And it's like I told James, and I've said it on this show many times, how do you help people that don't care about themselves? If you don't care about yourself, how in the world is somebody else supposed to care about you? Most people just don't care. They really don't. So again, we're continuing to look for land, and for the folks that are on my list and whatnot, we have the people that want to do this. They stretch all the way from California to New England, clear down here to Florida. So we have a fairly large list of people that want to make this work. We just have not been shown. None of us have been given the vision as to where to try to do this, to come out of Babylon and to separate ourselves from her. I think it's going to happen in time. When the time is right, Father is going to both give us the vision and open a door of opportunity for us. So in the meantime, we have to hunker down, dig in, and be survivors, be lions, and just do the best we can. That's all we can do. All right? I did talk when talked to Mr. Lancia. He will be back with us in the very near future. This coming Sunday, Michael from Sweden wants to come back on the program, so Michael should be with us, and we don't know yet what we're going to exactly talk about. I'm going to pretty much give him a free rein because it's been quite a while since he's been on. A lot's happening over in Europe, so I'm kind of looking forward to that, see what he's going to tell us about Sweden and the other places over there as far as our people. I still am completely dumbfounded at the number of people who think this pandemic is real. I mean, I just can't get over how easily duped our people have been. I believe a lot of this started out as an experiment. Even the Orange Jew in Washington and Pompeo and the rest of them were heard saying this is a drill. I think it started out as a drill, with them at the controls ready to put an end to it at any moment if they thought we were going to raise up an army and put this thing down, just like our founding fathers did. But when they realized just how easy it was to deceive the people in this country, and we've got so many aliens in here now, low IQ aliens, who will never figure this thing out. So between the aliens, the massive control of information, and the lower IQ of the white race today, I believe they were just astounded at how easy it was to get our people to do the dumbest things imaginable. Putting cones around our neck in order to wait on tables, wearing a dirty diaper all day long when anybody with any common sense knows that that is not healthy. Anybody with common sense knows that a cloth covering isn't going to stop a virus in any way, shape, or form. That's just plain common sense. And yet, look at the number of docile little compliant sheep running around doing the most absurd bullshit things at the behest of that image of the beast. How many times have we talked about this? Those electronic devices with their flat screens, those are the images controlled by the beast. It's so evident to me. I don't know why it isn't to everybody else, but it's so evident to me. We are worshiping, which means that we are making these flat screens an idol. Okay? That's why the Bible and the scriptures use the term worship the image controlled by the beast. It's not a statue. It's not a picture on your flat screen of a person. That's not what it's talking about. It's the images of, meaning controlled by, the beast. And it's just taking complete control. Now, Angel says in here that we should refer to Luke 17:33. So let me go there real quick as far as the mask goes. Luke 17:33. So give me just a second here. So we got to find it. And whoever seeks to save his life loses it, but whoever loses his life preserves it. Maybe did I get that wrong? 17:33. Oh, okay. Well, my take on 33, verse 33 there is whoever seeks to save his life, meaning the physical life in this form, in this three-dimensional form, is going to lose it. All right? And if you lose your life, preserves it. But I don't, this translation says loses your life, but it's lose the, uh, You need to lose your wanting to stay alive so much that you'll do virtually anything for it. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's not saying that you're to go out and be a martyr or commit suicide or do something stupid and get killed. That's not how you preserve your life. You preserve your life when you lose the fear of losing your life. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's saying here, whoever seeks to save his life. In other words, if you're going to go to the doctors, you're going to go to the pharmacists, you're going to go to Anthony Fauci or anybody else trying to save your life, you're actually going to lose it. Because you've turned over responsibility for your life to somebody else. Okay? You're responsible for your life. You're responsible for studying, looking into things, learning, reading labels, checking out drugs. You are. We've become lazy, allowing people with white lab coats and TV commercials to convince us of what's right and wrong. We haven't been doing any homework. And so our people are going to lose their life, their physical life. All right? She says here that it's lose life for his sake. Well, yeah. I often sit and think about when he walked this earth and talked to the disciples and the people that were around him, and he did his teachings, again, without the aid of an overhead projector, without a movie screen, without any books and textbooks and workbooks, without any notepads, paper and pencils. He just went around talking, much like those of us here on the forum talk, and even on our nightly calls, which Adam has graciously taken that role to host a nightly chat at 8 p.m. Eastern time with mostly our men, but the ladies join in as well, to have us talk about these issues, okay? So Messiah came here and taught and gave truth to our people without all of that stuff. And he was able to get people to understand. And now we have all this information, all this technology, and I think our people are more ignorant than they were back then. Because back then, I think they had more common sense. They believed what they could see. Like right now, who in his right mind doesn't see that we don't have a pandemic? There is no pandemic. Only in the minds of the people that are being lied to. That's where it's at. It's in the media, the mainstream media, and in your minds, the flat screens, the image controlled by the beast has placed that image in your minds. That's where it exists, because in reality, it's not out there. Now, are there people dying? Yeah, there's people die every single day. But these same people that want you to sit around crying crocodile tears for COVID patients, they don't have a single tear to shed for the babies dying. Not a single tear is being shed for our military people being put in harm's way. Not a single tear for the accidents on the highway, the drug overdose, which is a true pandemic. The suicides, even just the suicides amongst our military. Not a single tear for any of that. But they want you to cry tears, put diapers on your face, get your butt swabbed out, and take this poison into your body for a relatively handful of people who get the flu. Because that's what coronavirus is, the flu, okay? And I don't give a damn what anybody else is telling you. That's what it is. Go look it up in a medical journal. Go look it up in medical papers with the New England Journal of Medicine from 2018 and 2019, okay? Coronavirus is a goddamn flu. And if you people don't stop calling it a virus, a disease, a pandemic, it's a flu. period. And they got you walking around like it's the Black Plague, which was put upon the people intentionally, just like this thing has been done too, by the way. That's another orchestrated by the usual suspects disease upon our people. Usual suspects to kill white people to get their property and their land at pennies on the dollar, just like these Jews and hedge funds and whatnot are going in and buying properties up in these cities where they would have had to pay a fortune, but now people are almost giving away that land, those properties, or storefronts and everything else. So, and Catherine Austin Fitz talked about that. At this late stage in the game, it's very difficult to think about trying to bring somebody up to speed with all the nuances of identity, the scriptures, history. I mean, there's thousands of books, thousands of pamphlets, the writings of Bertrand Comparé, all these things. But we're near the end of the age. We don't have the time. We don't have the time. The sheep are going to have to figure out where the lions are. The lions have to wake up. The lions have to learn how to be lions again, which means they have to be leaders. And the sheep just have to know where their shepherds are going to be. Just like when Christ walked the earth, he was the good shepherd. They could tell instinctively by his countenance, his voice, and the things that he said, that he was anointed. And the sheep need to figure that out once again. And I sometimes wonder if our people are really ready to leave Babylon. I talk to a lot of people every day, clear into the wee hours of the morning sometimes, and it's amazing to me, especially when we talk about the Ark Project and community and getting out of Babylon and everything else, it's amazing to me how many people, the very first thing they want to do is give conditions. Well, I want to come out of Babylon, but I have to have this much land. I have to have this many square feet in a house. I have to have some of my creature Wait a minute. When the Israelites left Egypt, they carried what they could carry on basically mules or a camel, and that was it. You either got into the caravan and left, or you didn't. I'm not saying I think we should all run out and find caves to dwell in, but when your back's up against the wall and you got an enemy at the gates and the enemy is closing in around you with the full intention of destroying you and your family, I don't think it's a good idea to have too many prerequisites to getting into the lifeboat. You understand what I'm saying? The Titanic's going down and somebody offers you a spot in the lifeboat. I don't think you argue about whether it's the best spot or could it be a bigger boat or does it have creature comforts in it? I'm just saying. I think we need to have the attitude of the Israelites when they come out of Egypt, which basically says that it's time to go. I'm going to go where the Father leads me and just trust that it'll be okay when I get there. Maybe I'm wrong, in which case you're more than welcome to take me to task. But it seems to me that the scripture is talking about that, especially when Messiah talked to the rich man. And he didn't really expect everybody to throw away all their possessions to follow him, but he knew this person was not sincere. This rich individual was not really sincere. He loved his material things way too much. And that's why he told him, he said, well, then get rid of all of your stuff and come follow me. Because he knew the guy couldn't do it. So every single day, it gets more depressing, actually, reading the headlines about what these psychopaths are doing. Tex Mars wrote that book about the psychopaths. We talked about the definition of the word kakistocracy, which means that the worst elements of your society are the ones in charge, in the leadership position. So everything, as the Bible said it would be at the end of the age, everything is upside down. It's 180 degrees out of cycle. Okay, it's upside down. Good is evil and evil is good. Statesmen like Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Jay, John Adams, etc. Okay, statesmen used to be the people that were true public servants and had the faith of the people to lead us in the right direction. Now we have the worst elements within our society sitting in government positions. Those two communists that got selected through the Dominion voting machines in Georgia is a perfect example. Okay? Two absolute cretins and miscreants, communists to the core, and you're going to tell me the good people of Georgia voted them in there? No, just like we didn't put a Biden in there or any of his other misfits in there, and yet they're pretending to be in charge. But they can only be in charge if you let them. Remember what the Founding Fathers said in the documents. All power is inherent in the people. Didn't say all power is in the military. Didn't say all power is in the White House, Supreme Court, Congress. It's not what it says. All power is inherent in we, the people. Or as my father used to remind me, the people get as much tyranny as they accept. And I think that's why Yeshua said, will I find faith upon the earth? Or will they be little soy boys and girls following the dictates of a bunch of communist miscreants pretending to be government officials, actually under the color of law, which is a form of treason. So every one of these people is a traitor to the real States United and the people of those states. But we've been asleep for so long, and they've been undermining all of our foundational institutions and principles. From the family to the fact that America was founded by European males, meaning white. It was made for white people. The Supreme Court even upheld that clear until the late 1800s. There's a Supreme Court decision in the late 1800s, decades after the Civil War. The Supreme Court threw three black women in Washington, D.C., or in the Washington area anyway, threw out their court case because they said they had no standing on constitutional grounds because the Constitution only applied to white people. Now, that was like almost 40 years after the Civil War was over. So people say, well, the Civil War was to free the blacks and all that. No, sorry. Because your Supreme Court didn't say that. So obviously the people from 1865 until 1895, so 30 to 35 years later, during that 35-year period, people weren't stupid enough to believe that nonsense, that somehow we turned our country over to other races because of the Civil War, or that we put other races on equal footing to our founding fathers who set this country up. And again, this isn't to say that these other people don't have the same God-given rights that we have. They do, but they don't have a right to govern and be citizens in our country. They don't. No more than I have a right to go to Israel and say I want to be part of the Knesset, because the Knesset's full of Jews. Or to go to the Russian parliament and say, I want to be there. No, I'm not a Russian. Or go to China and say, I want to be part. No, I'm not Chinese. Or go to Korea and, well, no, I can't do that either because I'm not a Korean. We understand it perfectly well with every other country. It makes perfect sense, except for the white nations. We bought into this nonsense that anybody can be part of the decision making. No, that's not true. So every one of these people in a government position who violates those ethics and those principles is actually an interloper. They're actually a spy operating amongst us. They're traitors. Especially these Edomites who are the enemies of all mankind, as Christ Jesus told us many years ago. But again, we're asleep at the wheel. As they say, Dan, why does it matter? Don't worry about it. Go back to sleep. You know, it'll be okay. This is just a bad dream. Everything will work out. This is America. Nothing bad ever happens here. America's the good guys. They're always the good guys. Even though our government has done atrocious things to other people on this earth. But again, white people just don't care. They don't want to be bothered. So I think we should take the attitude of the Babylonians, stop wasting our time trying to wake them up, and stop trying to save them. I think this is the time of the wheat and tares, and that our people who have that attitude are basically exhibiting the attributes of a tare. And we all know what the Bible says is happens to the tares. They will be gathered together and burned in the fire, which just means they'll be destroyed. Okay? The tares, their babies are dying in abortion mills. The tares are in hospitals being killed with overdoses and wrong medication and malpractice by surgeons and doctors. They're dying from vaccinations. They're dying from drug overdoses. They're dying from wearing a mask and getting bacterial pneumonia. They're dying from suicide because of the social distancing and the other nonsense that's going on. They're dying from road rage and violence in the family and in the home and in the neighborhoods because of all of these absolutely lunatic things that they've got going on. And yet, where do the people cry out for righteous leadership? Have you heard anybody even mention that? We keep thinking that we just need to elect another sick, demented politician and somehow it'll be better. Where have you heard groups of white people crying out for a righteous leader that they can follow? Have you heard it? I haven't heard it. So I'm asking you, is that possibly an indication of why there is no changing of what's going on? Our people aren't even asking for it to get fixed. They keep looking to the same creatures that created the problem as if they're going to fix the problem. They're not. They're getting fat, dumb, and happy on this. Why would they fix it? Just like the pharmaceutical industries and the doctors in the hospitals. They're getting millions and billions of dollars through various funding programs in the government and outside the government, typically coming from Jewish sources like the Rothschilds and the Bloombergs and Bill Gates. Okay? Why would they want to change it? Scripture makes it pretty clear to me that it's a righteous leader. It says that Messiah will come back. The anointed will come back on a charger for war. With his vestment dipped in blood. A charger for war. Malachi and Obadiah and Ezekiel talked about the fact that there's going to be a great day of Yahweh's judgment upon this world where the wicked will be tread upon and destroyed. Well, who do you think is going to destroy them? So at some point, our people have to start thinking outside the box, okay? This three-branch of government system we have set up right now has failed us. The parliamentary system has failed our people because it does not maintain racial purity. Okay? Diversity is just a formula for white genocide and destroying a white nation. Diversity doesn't work anywhere. Nowhere does it work, except again in your mind when you watch the images controlled by the beast. And here's another good indicator for you. If you're dealing with an individual, a Babylonian, and they're talking about the mainstream television programming that they enjoy watching, you might as well walk away. You are never going to reach them. Their brains have been filled with all of that nonsense coming across that flat screen. There's no hope for them. Think about it. The people that you know that actually can figure out what's going on and make a change and protect yourself and will never put that poison in your body, etc., they don't watch that shit. And I mean shit. That's exactly what it is. Dung. It stinks. It's putrid. No value whatsoever. We've said that on this program many, many times. If you want to cure yourself of this illness, if you want to come out of the grand illusion and deception that's going on, you have to shut that television off. I would go so far as to shut off the radio as well, because those DJs are nothing more than an audio-only form of the same talking heads that you're getting on the mainstream television, the Talmud vision. Turn that thing off. So again, we're being led by a bunch of sociopaths who don't know our Father in heaven. They don't know the Christ. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care about Scripture. They don't care about you. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your future. That's obvious. They are psychopaths. Literal psychopaths. And yet people still think we have to listen to them. Even though a mandate is not a law, it's unenforceable. That doesn't mean they can't convince some moron with a badge and a gun to go try to enforce it. Well, they can do that, but it's not legal. He's operating outside the law. He's under the color of law. Therefore, he can actually be sued, lose his job, and go to prison under the civil rights and under, I used to have it memorized, the USC, I know it's section 241 and 242, but I can't remember the title. I can't remember if it's Title 8 or Title 13, so if somebody knows which one it is. But anyway, I could look it up. You can email me, and I'll look it up for you. So under those, they can not only go to prison and be fined substantially, but if there's injury or death due to their violation of your civil rights, they can actually be executed, and that's part of the law. So if their disobedience to their oath of office and the violation of your rights, which disobeying a mandate is part of your right, you don't have to follow a mandate, they can actually be put to death. So once we have righteous leadership in this world, it will turn around very, very quickly, because biblical law will become the law of the land, and it will be enforced rapidly, quickly, severely, post haste, plus vite, pronto, okay, mach schnell. Angel sent one in here. Let's see. COVID is more correctly COVID AIDS. Masks and vaccines kill our immune systems Autoimmune deficiency syndrome is a death sentence, as in AIDS. Death is in the test and cure. That's right. No test, no vaccine. No test, no vaccine. Man, I don't know how many times we can say that. We pray Yahweh will guide each and every one of our people that are paying attention, listening. I wish our people would wake up. It's going to take an act of the Father himself to wake up these people. It really is. The power of that flat screen over these individuals, these Babylonians, is so damn strong. It shocks everybody. Nobody could have seen this, that it was that strong, that they would do some of the dumbass things they want us to do today. And they're just blithely going along and doing it. It's mind-boggling. Anyway, I've been droning on here long enough. I want to open up the phone lines. If anybody's got anything to report, Adam, if you got anything you want to bring in here, anything about the chat room or anything. I know you were part of a Sheriff Mac conference, I believe, yesterday. If you want to come on and give us a rundown of what that was all about, I'd sure appreciate it.
Oh, hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Oh, it's pretty good. Things kind of a pretty sunset here today, so it's always nice. Yesterday with Sheriff Mac, it's actually an FCC platform that he uses, but he doesn't provide a login from what I gather, so you can only do it over the phone.
Right.
It's kind of nice to see he uses the same software, but hour long, he must have had some questions that he had already lined up because he spent a lot of that hour talking about things he had in his queue. I called in at the very end to ask how I can help without money, as I always do. And he said that there might be some phone calling he needs help with. So as far as getting sheriffs in Texas and wherever else, interested in attending their next conference, which is in Texas on the, I think the 27th and 28th of this month. That'll be cool to help, or to at least to feel like I'm doing something helpful, because for the most part, I like what he has to say. And I mentioned that because I was going through his course today and I found some big things that I definitely don't agree with him on. And I imagine you wouldn't either, but things about who it is that is technically an American citizen, along racial lines, and as far as women being in positions of power, I think we disagree severely on those two issues. But other than that, his constitutionality is refreshing to hear about, because really what sheriff's jobs, what their duty is not being done. Probably 80% of the time is just a guess. So that's the gist of it.
Okay. Did he say anything at all about the number of sheriffs taking a stand for the Constitution? Is it getting a larger percent? I think we got just over 3,000 sheriffs in America. Did he say anything about the numbers of them that are making commitments to their oath of office?
He might have, but I didn't jot it down, and I don't remember. But he did. He did have reason to be hopeful that because he's very busy, and so he's getting a lot of activity. He had a conference in Virginia, which you probably know about. I'm not sure when it was, but there's probably 10 or 20. Probably 15 or 20 sheriffs who spoke at that conference. As far as the total of numbers or a percentage of that 3,000, I don't recall that he highlighted that.
Okay. Well, if he's busy, hopefully that's why he's busy, because the sheriffs are important.
Yeah.
Because if we ever do get to where we have a monarch-type situation or a singular person in authority, if people don't like the word monarch, I mean, they get triggered so easily anymore. It's unbelievable. Their brain just shuts off as soon as they get triggered. So just say a singular person in authority with a body of elders as his privy council, and then bringing in the sheriffs within the state and appointing military leaders for each state in the place of a governor, working with the sheriffs, and the sheriffs in turn working with the local militia. That would be a big start right there. And just make a proclamation that we're going to go back to the founding fathers' format and biblical law, and violators will be dealt with severely. That's all you have to do. Everything would work out from that point on. Everybody says, well, what about the economy? What about this and all? The American people, when you take the roadblocks out from in front of them, they can accomplish a lot of things. We're inventive people. We're entrepreneurs. It's only because of this overregulation, too many laws, too many restrictions, too much tax. These things are all done to suppress the white entrepreneurs from giving competition to the Jew. That's where it all came from. All this corporation nonsense, corporate law, just as they're doing with the pharmaceuticals, saying they can't be sued for hurting somebody with their vaccine. Who in his right mind thinks that that's proper? Giving immunity from prosecution to drug companies that make products that can harm you? I mean, that's not Christian. That's not a white man's way of looking at justice. Okay? Only a Jew thinks that that's proper, because they're the ones that are making the obscene profits, guys like Bill Gates, okay, who is another creature from the Black Lagoon. Okay? So, again, if we take the roadblocks out of the way, take the power away from these creatures that walk amongst us, put our people in charge, declare the scriptural law, the law of the land, everything will get fixed in a hurry. That's really all it's going to take. But, you know, how much pain do the people have to suffer before they start thinking that way? I guess that's the real question, right?
Right. It's funny you mentioned that, because he mentioned the vaccine, I guess, immunity against being sued for vaccine damage. I guess that came about in the late 80s, 87 or something.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of stuff's been trudging along for a long time. I mean, I was 6 years old when that stuff was going on. The other thing about Mac is that I wanted to mention is that he said he's eager and willing to visit other counties. So if people contact him and want to try and get him to come out to their community, it sounds like he's willing to do that. So that's always nice.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we don't agree on everything, but one thing good about Sheriff Mack is the fact that instead of just sitting around bitching about everything, he's actually trying to do something. So Even if you don't agree with him on everything, at least he's trying to make the public aware, and he's trying to work on what he sees as a solution. If only our people could do that.
Yeah, well, he's also got a class that I signed up for that he's trying to get sheriffs to sign up for in an attempt to get them on the right page, because the way he puts it, probably most of them don't really understand what their role is really and how important it is and how much power they wield, because as he puts it, 100% of the time, when the sheriff stands up to the federal government, the sheriff wins. He says 100% of the time. And he cites numerous examples. So, I mean, that needs to become realized. If a sheriff of any county doesn't understand and they feel cornered and pressured into yielding their power back to the government, because that's what they're doing. They're delegating powers to the government that is by definite or design supposed to be at the county and local level, but they're giving it back to the government, and they can take it back. So that was one of the important keys of the videos I watched of Sheriff Max.
Yep. Very good. Very good. Well, any more thoughts on a location for a possible ARC community or several ARC communities? Any more feedback in that area, or people wanting to be at least part of the dialogue?
It's been pretty quiet as far as my inbox, but there are a few states that I just like because they might be more white than non-white, like Idaho is a big one. I just, for some reason, Tennessee just feels good to me. but I don't really have a good explanation. I've never even been there. But certain parts of Texas, because I think there's a lot of people talking about that whole secession movement, and there's apparently some good sheriffs there and other pseudo-political figures. Florida, as far as actual properties, I've been poking around, but, nothing really, unless we can get $500,000-$600,000. Otherwise, we're really looking at mostly barren land, unless you want, if you're willing to go there and rough it and live out of RVs, you can get a lot of value for $100,000 to $200,000. But if you want properties established and maybe even like a ranch situation, it's going to be like four times that from what I've seen.
Right.
Not sure how well that answers your question, but I haven't had a lot of direct contact about that project. Aside from the few that we've talked about, few people in the chat who have yet to join our discussions. I'm hoping they will. And then one or two that we've emailed about that are the new one that you sent me about. I've emailed her a few times, so hopefully her and her husband will participate soon.
Okay.
Yeah, what about on your side? Any more Florida interests or location interests?
It's continuing as it has. We're looking everywhere. Central Florida is a prime search point only because of certain indicators, but we're open. Most of the people I know are open. If somebody could find the ideal place, I don't think anybody on the list that I have would object to it. If it had everything we're looking for, it would be just like the signal to get the hell out of Egypt, and just trust that the promised land's going to be what the Father says. So, we're at this point, we're just like the Israelites trapped in Egypt under that system, which is right where we're at. We're back in Egypt, and we're just sitting here waiting for a sign, and then going forward from there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, you said you spoke again since Sunday with James, I think?
Yes, James Lancia, yeah.
Yeah, any, I don't know how much can be revealed, but I don't know if there was any other details about that collaboration regarding the ARC project.
Well, he's willing to work with anybody that wants to contact him. He wants the contact to come through me first. That's his desire. And if it's somebody I know and can vouch for, then he'll be glad to talk to anybody. He's got land already up in Maine where he's at. If we can't find anything in the near future, he's going to purchase some land, additional land up in Maine. I think about 31 acres, some of it right along the Atlantic Ocean, and allow people to come there to basically set up an RV or a camper or something like that. and he'd make that available to the right people. If he can get somebody to work with him down here, of course he would put his efforts into getting something in a warmer climate or a little closer to everybody else. So people are, you know, looking into a lot of different things. We just keep praying Father would reveal it to us what he wants us to do. I mean, he said to come out of Babylon, which that's twofold. It's not just the physical coming out, but it's also coming out of this Babylonian mindset where we have created idols of government and we've created idols of material goods and these flat-screen electronic toilets that we worship like speaking gods. Okay, we've literally taken the flat screens and turned them into gods that we obey faithfully, and whatever it says to do, we do it. Whatever it says to believe, we believe it. It's, you know, when I was a boy back in the 50s and 60s and I read scripture, I used to think, how could the Israelites have fallen for all this stuff? Where they were putting their babies up in statues of Moloch that were had fires built inside them to where the metal was red hot, and they would put their babies on the arms of Moloch and watch them be boiled alive, burnt alive. How in the hell can you do that? And yet you look at people today. They got their daughters or their wives going down to the abortion clinic and getting a baby cut out of their womb. That's okay. They're going down and getting a vaccine in there. It's going to change their DNA coding and Lord knows what else to them. Yeah, that's okay. We're going to go over and we're going to bomb the crap out of some Middle Eastern country, kill hundreds of thousands of innocent people. Well, that's okay. So I guess it's not so hard to understand anymore. How the Israelites could have fallen for all that stuff, it should have been obvious that it was wrong. And yet, look at our people today. Or, how about first thing out of the womb and you're going to mutilate your baby boys? And think that that's paying homage to a loving God that created this beautiful male child, and you're paying homage to it by an act of barbarism. I mean, stop and think about some of the stupid-ass things we do today, thinking that we're in obedience to the living God. It's mind-boggling. We watch our sons and daughters arm in arm with some other race, and God forbid they produce children, and we think that's okay. Oh, yeah, it's okay. Or we're taking our dogs and getting it mated to the neighbor's dog when they're two completely different species, two completely different breeds of dogs. And then we wonder why the offspring has allergies and bone problems and health problems. And well, yeah, but they look so cute. You know, I mixed my Cocker Spaniel with a Jack Russell. You know, something like that. Or my German Shepherd with a collie. What the hell are you doing? You're not supposed to create things that don't happen by nature just because you can. Well, I took my plum tree and I spliced in a peach tree, so I got a new kind of fruit.
Yeah, it's across the board. There was a typing program I used to use when I was in my teens. It's called Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing. There were several iterations of that little game. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. But one of the games you'd play is you'd string together certain words and there was some portion of an animal associated. And in the end, it would put the creature together. And it would just be made of all kinds of different things. Sea life, land-based life, flying life, mushed together, and then you got to see your creation. And I didn't even think about that in this until you mentioned all these things. It just kind of popped to mind because it's a subtle way of getting those ideas out there. Because, yeah, it makes no sense to start blending things. And as far as the mutilation, we definitely agree on the male mutilation that occurs to most of us. But same thing goes for tattoos, I think. I don't think you're supposed to screw with your, to mess up your body like that. I really don't. There's, the way I see it, if I see a girl who's attractive and I'm interested and she has a tattoo, I am no longer interested. It's a very, like, guttural response. And the same thing if I was dating a girl years ago, and one night she told me that, you know, teary-eyed, that she had had an abortion in her late teens, and a little switch went off, and I was completely done with her. You know, that might be a little harsh, but I'm not going to lie about it. That's just how it is. There's something instinctively, something in me instinctively rejects that in a potential mate. The fact that she would choose to abort her own, you know, it's not what I agree with, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess.
On the whole virus thing, I wanted to mention one point that Kaufman, if you've read, I don't think it's his book, but he is how I came to know about it. It's a book called, I think it's Why Everything You Know About Disease is Wrong or something like that. Anyway, in that book, and Kaufman in some of his videos talks about what viruses really are, and they are exosomes that your body on the cellular level secrete when they're like the trash man, basically. You know, the trash man comes by every week, you've piled up a bunch of rubbish in your house, you put it out in the bin, trash man takes it away. That's akin to what an exosome is, and they're calling it a virus when it's a natural byproduct of cellular waste. You accumulate toxins through your skin, your lungs, you eat it. It gets pushed into your cells. Your cells tell exosomes, hey, we need to get rid of this. Your exosomes push it out of the body. It's completely natural. And that's what this COVID thing, that's the switch, I think. That's like the smallest example or the most important example. Is they're saying it's a virus that's going to spread, which is impossible. It's not possible. The only way you can get that kind of spread is through blood injection, as far as I understand. And I've heard plenty of medical professionals say exactly that. So it's a mess. It's totally a mess because everybody's running around thinking that I'm going to breathe poison into them. It's going to kill them. And it's just flat on its face ridiculous.
Well, the thing that's amazing is all of this is a creation of the media. Again, the flat screens, the images of the beast that people worship without even thinking. Okay? Because think about this for a second. How many people out there have electron microscopes in their house? Not very many. How many of them have laboratories where they can do testing? Not too many of them either. How many of them have, medical libraries? They don't have that. How many of them have actually done autopsies and done any kind of research on viruses and exosomes and all of that? Well, not too many. So the average person, which is the vast majority of them, have absolutely no training. You add to that the fact that they have no common sense anymore. Okay, they are easily duped by whatever that idol tells them that's hanging on the wall in their living room. They just buy it. They just buy it. No matter how nonsensical it is. Again, we talk about Voltaire in his quote, the person who can get you to believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities. And that's what our people better wake the hell up, because that's exactly what's happened to. And let's call the dictionary here up for absurdity. Okay? Something that's absurd, absurd. inconsistent with reason, logic, or common sense. Number two, so unreasonable as to invite derision, which is ridicule. Okay, that's the adjective absurd. So absurdities are just that. They defy logic, defy reason, defy common sense. So if he can get you to believe things that are completely ludicrous, they can get you to commit atrocities. So what does it say atrocities are? Okay, atrocity. A-T-R-O-C-I-T-Y. An act of atrocious cruelty, the quality of being shockingly cruel and inhuman. Barbarity, inhumanity are synonyms. So, Fauci, Birx, the Trump administration, and the mainstream media are getting you to believe things that are absolutely absurd. The next step is to take the same people that buy the bullshit being poured into their brains through those toilets, will get them to commit atrocities, killing their neighbors because they won't wear a mask, turning their neighbors in so that they can be locked up in a FEMA camp because they won't wear a mask. You see what I'm talking about? This is what the communist Jew is in the process of doing amongst our people right now. They're working out what Voltaire is talking about right in front of our eyes. Because they learned that no matter how stupid a thing is, how lame, how nonsensical, these sheep are buying it and complying. We can get them to do anything, including turning on the patriots, the militia, the Christians, the Bible believers. They've already said that domestic terrorists are a threat. And so that's who they want this army that's capable of committing atrocities to be their army, because they don't have enough resources after us, because we outnumber them so badly. So they want this army of diaper-wearing, ball-less sheep to get angry at the white man who believes in the Bible, his family, his constitution, and his weapons. So that they will turn on them so that the Jew can run off to his new host in China and his haciendas he's been building in all these other countries. He can run out of town with his trillions of stolen property and money while the war between the races and between the diaper-wearing mindless morons and the people that actually know what's going on, figuring that they can come back in after we've killed each other off to the level that they now have enough uniforms to handle the situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's anyone wearing two or three masks right now is one of those people. Henry's on with us.
Oh, hold on a minute. I think I might have made a mistake. Yeah, sorry, Henry. When I first popped it up there, I didn't notice it. I think he's back on now.
Here. I had already unmuted him, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. So, hey, Henry, can you hear us? Now he's muted.
Hello?
At his end.
Hello. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Bubba.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah,
we got
can you hear us?
Hello. I can
you
hear you.
Turn up your volume.
The Frig. Hello.
We're hearing you, Henry. We got you loud and clear.
Well, Dan said he couldn't hear me.
No, I just said I can hear you.
Oh, man. Come on. You're playing with me now.
Oh, right. Come on.
All right, Dan. All right. Am I on? I'm on. Okay.
You're on.
You're making me lose my train of thought now.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, just kidding. throughout the broadcast tonight, you've pointed out several times about the stupidity of people in general, but more specifically, our people. And by that, I mean the white people, not only in the United States, but in Europe. And even more specifically, white people who call themselves conservative Christians. Let's narrow it down to that, okay? So what is, to me, you know, the core issue for their stupidity? I think it really boils down to the fact that they're more fearful of being called racist, especially by the Jews, then they actually fear the judgment of Yahweh.
Yeah. Amen. Good point.
And what is the reason? What is the root reason for this fear? This almost unexplainable stupidity and fear. If you really think about it, it goes to the core teachings or misteachings that we've endured as Judeo-Christians. And we don't recognize that we are the descendants of ancient Israel. Without that understanding of our heritage, there's no way these Judeo-Christians are ever going to understand the tribulations that we're experiencing right now. And that not just COVID, but the flooding of immigration, the flooding of immigrants, the whole the punishments that seem to be coming down hard on the United States, especially right now, they'll never understand it because it goes back to the root misunderstanding of who the freak we are. So
yeah.
I just wanted to make that statement and let it regurgitate.
That's the importance of what we call the identity message.
It's crucial.
Because if you don't know who you are, if you can't identify who's who in the Bible, now you've lost a great portion of the battle, and you're lost, okay? It's like a ship without a rudder. You're just being blown around by the wind in whatever direction the media drives you, which is
exactly.
All driven by the Antichrist.
Right.
So your rudder is a true interpretation of what the Scripture is saying and knowing who you are. And who you are within the context of the Scripture.
You have no identity. You have no spine. You have no backbone. And that's why, like you say, they twist like they twist in the wind with every latest and greatest nonsense that comes on the television, and they live their lives in fear. And it's. I don't think there's much hope.
That identity you're referring to, Henry, it reminds me of a tree's root system. You know, it's foundationless when you don't know. And I know from my own experience. And now, when I talk to members of my family, it's that rudder thing. They don't have a rudder. They don't have a foundation to stand on, which makes it real easy to pick their buttons or push their buttons because logic they're not logical anymore. They're all ethereal. So it's crucial. And then you look at what we're all taught in our stupid indoctrination camps. They teach evolution. They teach Darwinism. They teach some of the most absurd things. And people believe it, and only if they're, like, I think probably rare and intelligent enough will they ever figure out that they ought to challenge those things, and that might happen 20 years later, you know, after their, you know, whatever has happened in their lives, so.
Even the so-called Christians who are intelligent enough to distance themselves from stupid things like evolution, you know, that still fall into that Judeo-Christian category still believe in the Jewish fairy tales, as far as the, you know, what they believe the Bible is about and who it's for and all that. And with that, there's where that foundation, you could, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not just the atheists, it's the people who actually call themselves Christians, which it's a sad state.
There's one principle that the Jew operates under that our people just don't seem to get. If they did, it would solve a lot of problems, but they have a saying amongst themselves, the way to control your opposition is to lead it.
Yep.
Right.
And they have been masterful at taking over the control of everything, the Tea Party, the Republican and Democratic parties, the Congress, the media, the churches, the seminaries, the schools, the medical. Nothing stands in their way, because everywhere you look, a Jew's in charge. And now, with the Jew Biden in there and the rest of his Jew horde with him, it's virtually 100% Jewish.
2% of the population, you look around at all these institutions you just named, and you just see it, they're all dominated. And in actually most of the cases, you can actually identify by name. They don't even hide, they don't even change their names as often as they used to. They had to do that many decades ago to get, kind of break through. Now they don't even hide their Steinberg names and all that. So you look at all these institutions, 2% of the population, and yet CNN, 97, I think it's like 97% of all the top 100 people from CEO on down, Jewish. And that's just one example. And then all the other institutions you just named, medical mafia, et cetera, the government, politicians, academia. And you look, if you're watching the idiot box, and you're watching Fox News or CNN, whatever your choice is, you see 75% of the guests, the experts, Jewish. Why are our people so stupid that they can't say, let me think now, they're 2% of the population, and yet 3/4 of the guests who are going to educate us are Jewish?
You know, one of the big media platforms that I think gets overlooked because it's not as in your face, NPR, I think. That's a big one that I grew up listening to because I used to work for my dad and he was always into it. That's a big one because it's kind of, well, it's outside the realm.
Well, many years ago, decades ago even, it was liberal. Back when liberal wasn't like progressive liberal. So it was still bad, but it wasn't as progressive. You know, that's a new word now, progressive. Now they're outright pathetic. Right.
But, well, and here's the other thing that you bring to mind. Because our people, I'll speak for myself, I don't want to deal with stuff like this. I don't want to be bothered with these vile creatures. I want them to go be vile on some island somewhere. I don't care. As long as they pick a place and stay to it, that probably wouldn't be too bad because we could go around them. But they can't do that, and they are constantly attacking first. So by necessarily, because we're not really we're not like them, we're not inspired to go out attacking a bunch of people for no good reason. So we're always on the defensive.
No, we are. Right, not anymore. It's been bred out of us, I think. You're right, though. They are immediately on the offensive. The first sign of any kind of...
It's a winning strategy, because if you're always on the defensive, even if they don't win significantly, they've nudged you enough to change your direction.
It's like you're
driving down the freeway and you got some passenger yanking the wheel on you. You know, it changes your path.
Yeah. They effectively silence you with just name calling.
right.
Anti-Semite, Nazi.
Now, is there, Dan, I don't know how long you want to run this, but I thought I'd ask about Florida, because I've heard, what did I hear? Something about that you guys had some positive enforcement or reinforcement stating that you could open up and you have been open and that things are kind of going along just normally out there. Is that true?
In a lot of areas it has, because DeSantis removed his mandate. So unlike the orange Jew in Washington, who never did the right thing for the country, he at least removed his mandate, and I think he also said something about the fact that there would be no enforcement, and there would be no... In other words, any police or local officials at all that try to enforce it, they're on their own. They don't have any backing at the state level. So he basically took the wind out of their sails. But you know, some of these local mayors and commissioners and all that, they're a bunch of retards too. And so they think because they watch a lot of television, they think there's an actual problem, and so they get off on the power. They get off on the idea that they can say something to a camera and the sheep just run out there and do it, even though mm-hmm. there's no legal reason to do it. There's no logical reason to do it. And so they go along with it. Now, the unfortunate thing is the state ought to come in there and sue them. Okay, that if he really wanted to be a good governor, he would go after them and use the state's power, the state attorney, to go after mayors and commissioners and whatnot that are overstepping their bounds, okay? But, you know, that being said, at least the governor here has done at least some reconciliation to bring sanity back. And so you can go to a lot of places in Florida, and here, this is the amazing thing. The businesses don't stop you. I've been into quite a few businesses, restaurants, whatever, and there's people wearing masks. Not everybody, but there's still a large number that are, and they still got their damn employees wearing them in a lot of places. Not all of them, but in a lot. So even though the governor himself has said, we don't have an issue and I'm pulling out the emergency mandate and everything, this just shows you how retarded our people are. They're still doing it.
Wow.
Well, I think it's that they're pandering to probably what social media and other social realm is telling them to do, because you got so-called Nancys who are going to run their mouth and bark at you for endangering them. And so businesses who want to avoid that end up kowtowing to it. And I think it's pathetic.
Well, I went into a car dealership. They had a big sign on the front, mask required. My brother and I, we just walked in. Nobody said anything. The young guy that we were talking to, you know, in the dealership, he had his diaper on. But you could tell, because I talked to his brother, and he didn't have a diaper on.
You could tell
they were just doing it, or he was doing it, because he wasn't sure if we'd be the kind that would rat him out.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, I used to tell people you can take that damn thing off, but they got no balls, so I don't even do it anymore.
You know what I do? I don't go into stores very often at all, but so maybe I'm not a fair example, but when I do, and I did just the other day, I see the sign on the outer door. I walk in, and there's one more door to walk in, and I see the sign about the masks right there. I walk in, I go right to the cash register because I knew what I wanted. I said, I got no mask, I'm not wearing one, so that's that. And the guy said, no problem. It's just, you just got to test the waters.
Right.
There'll be some idiots that'll say, well, I'm sorry, I can't serve you. And there's going to be plenty of, you know, people who won't. But most people just want to follow orders, and they're not willing to test the waters.
Well, and this is something that came up during Sheriff Mack's call. He was saying that private businesses akin to someone's home, if they want to put a rule up, they're they're welcome to have their own standards. But I've heard, and this is, what's her name? Peggy Sue?
Peggy Hall.
Peggy Hall.
Peggy Hall.
I think she's the one I heard this from, that basically, maybe it's just California. Yeah, right. It's these businesses, most of them are considered a public accommodation place of business. So even though they're technically private, they have, I guess, agreed on some level to be a place of public accommodation, like the grocery stores. And that means that they're limited. They can't just willy-nilly make limitations.
That's right.
Like that. 'Cause it's,
they can't
it's
make a rule that you have to do something that's unsafe or unhealthy to come into their store.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's just...
Like telling you to wear shoes and to wear a shirt is not telling you to do something that's unhealthy. That's why they can do that, okay? That's
right.
Not...
Big difference.
That's a big difference. Telling you to put a dirty diaper on your face that's full of bacteria that's going to increase your chances of bacterial pneumonia, they don't have a right to do that.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to touch on, and maybe we can talk about this on one of our nightly discussions, but the funding for legal avenues, I would like to talk more about how that works, because I don't have any experience doing that kind of thing. Because, we're all, it probably sounds like we're real civil, but I know we're all quite angry. And I've had a few experiences, because I avoid stores at all costs, but the few little run-ins I've had are enough to make me want to sue somebody and keep suing until, I don't know how many times you got to sue. I say we keep suing everybody that we can for as long as we can and as high up the ladder as possible. I don't know. That's just what comes to mind. I have no idea how to...
Well, the best place to go for that is Peggy Hall, thehealthyamerican.com. She's got information in there, what you can do. And Dr. Pamela Popper in Ohio, is her organization has got lawyers, and they have a massive lawsuit that they have filed over this stuff. So
Peggy Hall,
I know
right
both
there.
Of those people, and they're more than willing to talk to you about what you can do. As individuals or as groups to go after these SOBs.
Okay. Well, that's I didn't know about Pamela Popper because these things go all the way up. They go all the way up to all levels of our government. There's no reason to keep it local, really, as far as I can tell. There's a lot of unconstitutional actions going on everywhere, so as far as lawsuits, there's no shortage of what we could pursue. Are you interested in having either of them back on your show?
Well, Peggy is so darn busy, I gave up trying to get her on. She missed two scheduled interviews, so I'm leaving it up to her. I would love to have her on, but again, she's going to have to tell me when she wants to come on. And Pamela Popper, I have not reached out to her.
Okay.
And they're both very, very busy. So I don't think that they would have time for an interview with some little small fry operation like me. But, of course, I'd love to interview them, but... I'm reaching out to a few other people, and like I said, I got Michael from Sweden. It'll be on Sunday, and that should be interesting to get some personal feedback about what's happening over in Europe. And we'll go from there. Maybe I can get Jan Lamprecht in South Africa to come back on, too, and give us an update on what the poor white, the Boers, are going through there in South Africa, which is kind of where we're headed. What they're doing to the Boers in South Africa, what they did to the whites in Rhodesia, which is now called Zimbabwe, Rhodesia. It's I don't know. I wish I could push a magic button and make white people care. Just simply care. They don't care about anything anymore. They don't care about their children. They don't care about their education. They don't care about much of anything except stuffing shekels in their pockets and the toys that shekels buy. They don't care about their looks. They don't care about their manners. They don't care that they're ignorant. They don't care that they don't live up to their expectations. They don't even have expectations. They don't even hold themselves accountable, let alone other people accountable.
Right. Actually, even when they knew they were Israelites, they strayed away.
I just recently went through, I'm not going to go into that. It's just amazing to me. I just keep going back to my childhood on that little farm, living in a little cinder block house. By today's standards, we lived in poverty. I grew up in poverty. I didn't think it was poverty at the time, but by today's standards, it was poverty. And yet, I wouldn't have traded that childhood for $10 million. I wouldn't. To grow up in a house with a loving brother and sister and a mom and dad that cared enough to punish me when I was wrong, that taught me how to behave, how to have expectations. As my father used to tell me 1,000 times, you do it right, and you do it right the first time. None of this making excuses. You just do it the right way. Don't be giving me excuses when I tell you to do something, you do it, and you do it the way I told you to do it. Putting tools back where they belong. Something as simple as that. I can't tell you how many adults I've dealt with that they don't even know how to treat tools the proper way. They'll borrow tools from you, and you get it back, and it's covered in oil or tar or dirt, or it's been scratched up or whatever. Simple things like that. Treat other people's property as if it were your own. It's like, do you treat your property this way? I mean, and these are not bums or homeless people down in San Francisco. These are white people from middle class and upper neighborhoods and stuff like that, and yet that's the way they are. Or if they say, I'll come over to your house, I'll be there at 2 and help you with that chore, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and they're still not there. No call, no apology. It's just amazing to me. Yeah. I grew up thinking that's standard. I thought all white children were brought up with this set of values. And then as I got older, I found out that, Jesus, there aren't that many good parents. There aren't that many that teach the values to their children because they themselves don't have those values.
Yeah.
So once again, I look back and I say, thank you, Father, for the mother and father that I had. Took me to that little church in Center Union, Pennsylvania, and had me dedicated to the Father, less than 1 year old. Special dedication ceremony. How many parents, they don't do anything with their children.
Yep. My background is kind of similar to that. I wasn't raised on a farm, but I had two fantastic parents and a good family structure. I know Adam's family, I'm not going to say Adam can speak for himself, but yeah, it's certainly an advantage to come from that kind of background. No question about it.
Well, to have boundaries and to have expectations. Yeah. I mean, people don't understand how that sets you up for life, because as I got older and I played sports, being part of a team and having a coach telling me what he expected of me and all, that was normal. Mm. I found out later on, coaches and parents and all, they were amazed. I remember one time I was at a gym in Augusta, Georgia, and I'm working out, and this young lady was from the Army base there. In fact, she was the Miss Fort Gordon bodybuilder, and she's working with me and all. And some military guy come over and wanted her to do something, and she goes, I'm not going to work with you. And the guy said, why not? And she goes, because you don't listen to what I tell you. And she comes over and stands by me, and she goes, now Dan here, I work with him. She goes, take a look. He does exactly what I tell him to do. every time I come into this gym and look at him working out, he's doing exactly what I told him to do each and every time. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't that normal? I mean, if you're asking somebody to help you and they tell you how to do it, why wouldn't you do it? But you find out people aren't wired that way. We wonder why our race is in trouble.
Sad.
It's like Clinton said, right? It takes a community to raise a child. That's why, because parents don't want to raise their own children, so they let the so-called community do it, and they just get destroyed.
Well, today they let the television do it.
Yep, iPads.
When they get a little older, they let the school system become the parents, because they don't want to deal with it. And I've had actual white people say that very thing. They couldn't wait for school to start so they can unload the kids. That's the kind of love our people have for their children today.
But my cousin, exactly like that, my age, I think he's got 4, and he's like, because I pressured him a little bit, like, don't you want to not send them to those places? And he's like, I couldn't deal with them. Uh-huh. Like, wow, why'd you have them then? Why didn't you just drown them?
Can't deal with them because they never taught him discipline. See, that's the problem. My children understood discipline because I raised them the same way my dad raised me.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I got a nephew who's 6 now. And this last year I spent significant time at my folks because I was stuck there. And that kid would come over and just absolutely terrorizing the whole house. You couldn't think. It's loud, running around, about to clonk his head on something. And he got to know me real quickly because I can't deal with that kind of stuff. And I'm the only one who's willing to put my foot down. So every time that kid would come over and start running around, leaving a mess everywhere, I would just stare at him. And it pretty quickly, it only took one or two firm stances. And he learned, if Adam's in the room and he says something, you do it. Because right. I mean it. I'm the only one who meant it. You know, his own parents.
You gotta say something, but you gotta follow through. Too many parents will, the kids will put on an exhibition in a supermarket or something, and they'll scream at them or whatever, but then there's no follow through and there's no punishment. There's got to be, it's hard love.
You know what's the sad part about that? Is the children actually want you to put them in their place.
Absolutely.
They need it. They're testing you because that's their nature. But that, when you don't discipline them, you're saying you don't care.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
That's why we have the trouble we have today. The children don't respect their parents because in their minds they don't care because they don't discipline them.
And then if you don't show them with your actions that you actually care about them, by the time they get to be around 15, maybe 17, they will rebel far, far more, I think, than they would have otherwise. That was my brother's situation. That was my situation. By the time I'm 17, my dad had no sway over me when it came to things like that. I didn't think of it conscientiously, but it was subconsciously ingrained. Like, what do you care? Go to work, you know?
Right. We got a lot of things to fix up. We got a lot of things that need fixed.
But there's people like us willing and eager to do it, and I think that's a sign. I was going to ask, now that you're both on here, Dan, would you be interested in like a Friday, a Thursday or Friday kind of like video conference thing? I know we've touched on this before, but I'm just thinking that might be a segue on top of what you're already doing, just to throw something else on your plate, that might gain traction and make it more appealing for people like Peggy Hall or Pamela Popper or whoever else to come on if they're already in that realm where they're sharing videos and trying to gain traction in that way. Maybe if we had a little our own little video sharing platform, we could start something like that.
I mean, what would be what's the topic? I mean, what's the format?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the reason I wanted to bring it up on this recording, if anyone's still listening, maybe we could get their feedback as to whether or not they value it or what kind of ideas they might throw at us to think about.
Well, the thing of it is, are you saying it would be like a open forum question answer type of thing?
Kind of like maybe, but so like that one guy, Scott Tipping Point, he's got a few
Scott McKay.
Yeah, that just seems to be what a lot of platforms that people pay attention to nowadays are doing. So like if we're trying to talk about the ARC project, that would be one of the big things to talk about. Number two would probably be gaining funds for anything, but
you're talking about live streaming then.
Yeah, probably. But then the third thing is fighting the system legally, and that would be a big topic of collaboration, because I don't know how to do that, and there are people who would probably be willing to join because it helps them get their – they've already got platforms, and they're trying to spread their word as well. So those are the three things that come to mind if we were to embark on a project like that.
Well, for me, my mission here is to do whatever it takes to help our people get their shit together, to be honest with you. So anything that's constructive to either educate or motivate the white people to care about being white and care about their children and what our future is, I'm all for it. Because what else is there? Okay, all this material bullshit's all going to go away. You can't take it with you. It's going to go to rust or it's going to fade. Everything that Babylon has entrapping our people is fake and phony and will not last. The thing that lasts is who we are and our posterity. That's what lasts. So anything that improves that situation, then I'm up for it. So educating, motivating, whether it's the Bible, whether it's health, whether it's discipline, whether it's legal action, whether it's the militia, whether it's our sheriffs, you know, I would love to find a nice, lightly populated county somewhere, maybe a rather small one, to where we could go there and become a large portion of that county and get somebody like James Lancia elected as our sheriff.
Yeah, okay, so if we have... Let's say we had that as part of the main themes or even the theme of such a conference, kind of live call. Maybe we would find people who happen across that channel who are also, you know, looking for people like us that we wouldn't have otherwise encountered. That's one of the advantages, I think, that if we were on a platform like BitChute or something, that there's a lot of people who go there every day to update, you know.
Well, something to think about, and we'll take feedback from the audience. Like I said, if you go to PastorDan.net, there's a contact me page there, and they can contact me if they want to reach out to James Lancia or if they want to reach out to you, Adam, about your hosting program or this idea of a video chat, anything. Any ideas people have to move us forward as a group, to better our position, to increase our numbers, to get the information out there, I'm all for it. That's what we're for. You know, and praise Yahweh, the number of people who know this message and even participating in this particular program has increased quite a bit. I mean, we've been doing this for 21 years. I remember many a night I was happy if 6 or 7 people showed up. I mean, it was like, whoa, I had 8 people actually listen to the show tonight, way back in the beginning. So, you know, we're reaching far more people, and the better part is that there are a lot of people who don't call themselves identity, But they are grabbing the principles that we're talking about on this show and incorporating them into their platforms. We are having an effect. And personally, again, I don't like blowing my own horn, but I believe that those of us here are the teachers for the leaders that are out there right now and those that will be leaders in the near future. We are educating and grooming the future leaders, not necessarily the foot soldiers, but we're teaching the commanders, the people that are going to be the commanders or lions of our people in the near future. That's what it seems to be happening. Because like people talked about Scott McKay and Michael in Sweden and many of these other people who have branched off from this program. Well, Scott McKay obviously was before this program, but the point of it is, after our interview with him and these other people, they take away a lot of the things that we talk about here. They take the things that make sense to them and incorporate them into their platforms and the objects of their videos, what they're trying to accomplish. So we are having an impact, okay? They may not call it identity. They may not call it scriptural. They may not call it a believer's platform, whatever. But many of the things that we talk about here that need to happen for this world to get turned around, these other platforms are picking that up. So we have to hang on to that. We have to know that we're having an impact whether we know it or not.
Yeah.
And Angel says here, you have to reteach women how to relate to white men. Yeah, that's a big gap right now is the relationship between our men and our women. And the enemy's done this all on purpose. He's ripped our families apart, and he's ripped the white man and white woman relationship apart. Just shredded it. And we men are to blame. Because we allowed it to happen. We allowed an enemy to creep into our lands and usurp authority and usurp our financial institutions, our government, our education, our churches, and our families. They came in and we didn't stop them. The lions were laying in the field sleeping when an enemy came in.
Yeah. You know, and we have no one to blame but ourselves. I got a passage from Deuteronomy, you know, talking about how these usurpers are ruling over us. And it's a stark warning. I'll just read it. It's a few verses, take about 2 minutes. It's 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. The stranger, and we know what the stranger is, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and he shall not, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Because thou didst not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. So, here we are.
Amen. What verses were those again?
It was the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy.
Right, but which verses?
Actually, I'm reading it from text. I put it in a document. I don't have the verses in front of me.
Oh, okay. So Deuteronomy 28. Okay, that's a fairly long chapter.
Oh, okay.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 28 and 29, the blessings and the cursings. People should read that because we're living it. Okay,
yep.
We're living it. Every curse that's in there because of what he said that he would do to us if we turned our backs on him is exactly what's going on right now.
Yep, absolutely.
And like you were saying, Dan, as far as this message being the one that's training the leaders and the men, those that call themselves teachers, professors, leaders, they're teaching, they're not teaching men, boys to become men at all. That's counter to their directive. They're teaching them to be slave-like and to obey and not ask questions. So I don't know. That's why I can speak for myself that this message has it's harmonized with me. So it's for a reason. So I think you're right.
The Spirit testifies to the truth. That's why when Christ spoke to the gatherings of people, they didn't ask him for credentials. They didn't say, what college did you come from? They didn't ask to see certification from the state. Can you show me an ID? Did the state approve of this? Did the feds approve of this? Bullshit. They saw it in his eyes. They saw it in his countenance. They heard it in the vibration of his voice. They knew he was speaking to them from the Father. They knew it.
Oh, yeah.
And our people need to get back to that. They've been trained by the enemy to constantly give credence to and worship credentials, artificial credentials, by the way. The Jew is famous for taking a piece of shit like a Barack Obama or a George Bush and putting him through the ringer and dressing him up as some kind of credentialed individual, as if we should listen to them and obey them, when really they're just stuffed shirts. No substance, no intellect, no rationale, no character, no integrity.
They're actually the opposite of what they're.
Exactly. They're, just like Jeffrey Epstein. Was he actually a broker, billionaire broker? No.
Of course not.
He was a piece of shit Israeli Mossad agent whose job was to get everybody hooked on in blackmail with underage children. That was his specialty. Yeah, but the world was promoting him as some sort of a brilliant financier who made billions of dollars, and it was some frickin' kike stuffing money in his pocket to keep him supplied with the money he needed to do what he was doing. He's a piece of shit.
Barry Satoru was a coke-snorting homosexual piece of shit.
Exactly.
And he married a man. Just think about that. He married a man. We had in the White House for 8 years a flaming homo and his male husband.
Unbelievable.
How pathetic is that?
How about MLK? Pretty much most of these high profile figures that we have holidays in their name, they're completely puppeted.
It's all the opposite. Up is down. Up is down. Down is up. If they put them up on a platform and idolize them, have a holiday named after them like Martin Luther King, you can pretty much rest assured he was a degenerate.
Right.
And the opposite is true. And the ultimate example, of course, is the great one from 1930s Germany.
Right. And then you got Einstein's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's another fraud. Another fraud.
Total. How about Sigmund Freud?
Another one. Yep, another one. Edward Bernays.
Bernays.
Was related to Sigmund Freud, another kite. And his mental disorder that brought about propaganda and public relations, and look what that's done for us. So, anyway, I'm getting burnt out here, guys. I'm going to close it off for tonight. So, Henry, do you have any closing comments, buddy?
No, I'm pretty much shot, and I'll let you close it up quickly.
Thanks for letting me on. Yeah, thanks for calling in. Yahweh bless. How about you, Adam?
No, that's it. If the audience has any input or feedback, that would be appreciated. And thanks for the call. Yeah, bless.
Yeah, very good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks a lot for tuning in. We need a lot of prayer. We need a lot of focusing your spiritual energy towards a solution to all this. And we need the Holy Spirit to be the main thing in our lives to guide us and to keep all of the watchmen on the wall strong and give them good vision, just like the scripture we read, Yahweh will be our high tower, and we'll stand on his shoulders so that we can see far in the distance the things that are coming and see an enemy approaching, unlike our ancestors that were asleep down at the foot of the wall, drunk, high on drugs, high on sex, high on materialism, instead of being up on the tower keeping an eye on things. We need to stay focused and high up on that tower. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with all of our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the callers. And we thank you for using this platform to get your word out to the masses, those that care anyway, and the ones that are implementing the common sense biblical teachings that we talk about here. They're getting blessed for doing that. And those that don't are going to suffer severely. So our people need to stay strong, stay focused, stay working and networking with like-minded folks as best we can. We're in the middle of a storm, and what you promised was that we will come through this and we'll come out on the other side. But you did not say that it would be smooth sailing, because it is a storm. And we're going to get tossed around, and it may get a little bit rough at times. But we will hang on. We will weather this storm, and we will come out on the other side. And again, we ask that you give us good discernment. Help us to stay strong, stay focused with each other. Help us to prepare for this storm and this ride. And also, we ask that you protect us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.